here in Paris again for a weekend of meetings with Grigoris Prabhu and the other French devotees. Although preaching doesn't happen by meetings, certainly meetings are sort of integral part of organizing preaching. And I hope we'll be able to move forward. I'll let you know a little more about that after a minute. At least I've invested quite a significant part of a year now in trying to get a place for Radha Parasishvara, perhaps get a restaurant for us and a permanent preaching center. The preaching is going on. We're making devotees, but certainly low on manpower. I spoke last night, now I'm switching on to Kazakh update, to Govindam Raj. When I arrived at the airport, he was in the airport in Delhi, just leaving, and then we broke communication. Well, he said 8 a.m. and it's 8 a.m. now, so he's arriving in Prague at 8 a.m. this morning, and or maybe he said it was 9, actually it was 9. And then this meeting begins at 9:30, where he's making a presentation of the Kazakhstan situation. And I really do hope that we're going to get some good result out of that. Obviously, it's not a one-man show. It's a lot for Govinda Maharaj, and just from talking to him, I can understand that he's really under a lot of stress and strain. And devotees worldwide are beginning to really click in and see what they can do locally. And once again, if you want to know what it is that you want to do, well, the first thing as I'd mentioned is protest to your local Kazakh embassy, and there are lots of them worldwide. Another suggestion is that if you know anyone who works in a company which is presently investing or developing in Kazakhstan, then of course it's good to make this representation known to the company itself, so that they also know the type of policies that Kazakhstan has, because it could obviously reflect upon the investment over there, not just in terms of spiritual investment, but in terms of the business and material investment. And those companies could also voice their concern through appropriate channels, so that would be a good thing to do. There are many human rights organizations in the areas where you are. Express your concern to them on the links to this podcast, as well as if you go onto dandavats.com, you will also see media coverage and other actions that have been taken by government bodies. You can make these known to those human rights organizations. They can then further their concern also through their offices, their head offices, to the connections that they also have with the Kazakhstan government. And then, of course, the last thing is that you all have local ministers of parliament, councillors, who you can voice your concern about this and ask them to raise the issue in the Houses of Parliament, Congress, or whatever the government form that you have in the countries where you're in, and ask them to further communicate their concern to the Kazakhstan government. Ultimately, nothing will happen without our cooperative pressure on the government. And what is it that we want the Kazakhstan government to do? Well, obviously they've already bulldozed the properties. They shouldn't bulldoze any more houses. And they need to compensate us, compensate for the damage done. And then a possible alternative is whether they want to actually really purchase the land where we are presently on, and give us money to be able to relocate someone else, which may not be as apparently lucrative for them as this property is. And is that an alternative? Well, yes, it is an alternative. But obviously it has to be made a good alternative by the type of offer that we get. And that offer includes that we receive government protection and don't get bulldozed relocating somewhere else in Kazakhstan. Yesterday I played some of the videos and showed some of the slides to devotees in Hungary. They were visibly shocked. It was one thing to read things on the bulletin board and even hear myself or others talking about it, and it's something to see it firsthand. In fact, one of the devotees started crying, couldn't stop crying, and wasn't a lady. It was one of our senior men. They were really touched by what was going on. And many devotees expressed their concern, and really sort of came home to them that this could happen anywhere. And you're all sitting in different parts of the world, and we may be in some democracy or some other country that has a better human rights record, but you know, it's happened wherever you are before, I can guarantee you. It happened in America, where hundreds of Mormons were killed. It happened in the UK, it happened in Hungary, it happened in Europe, where 6 million Jews were killed. It's happened everywhere. So don't think it can't happen to you, don't think it can't happen where you are. And the question will be, if it does, what will we do? Where we just merge into the background to become invisible and therefore free from persecution? Or will we stand up for our rights, stand up for who we are? And you know, I'd rather be a persecuted religion than an accepted part of mainstream religion, at least from the point of view that persecuted religions are obliged to cooperate together, work together to take shelter of the Lord, whereas mainstream religions tend to become complacent, satisfied with their wealth, opulence, and acceptance, and very easily succumb to the influences of Kali Yuga, splintering, compromise of spiritual values, moral standards, mixing with politics, and scratching the backs of politicians and becoming an instrument in the hand of political parties for the sake of financial support and maintaining their established facilities. Anyway, I'm happy to be in a minority religion where we're still not necessarily just so easily accepted and absorbed into mainstream. For me, it has less risks, or at least the risk of physical persecution is a thing preferable to compromising the ideals of Krishna consciousness. And I can't remember who it was, but someone did say that if you want to strengthen a religion, the best thing you can do is to persecute them. And of course the question comes up in devotees' minds, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allows these things, why Krishna allows these things, where after all they say that yoga kshema bhamyaham, that the Lord protects his devotees. But we should remember that during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time there was so much persecution. Indeed, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was the one, as Srila Prabhupada said, led the first civil disobedience movement against the Chand Kazi. When the Sankirtan became very loud, when devotees became very bold, when they weren't longer just sort of quietly chanting in their homes, but shaking the whole world. And in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when no one in Navadvip could hear any other sound other than the words Hari Hari and the beating of mridangas and the clashing of handbells, then it became too much. What happened when it became too much? He says that hearing the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, the local Muslims, greatly angry, submitted a complaint to the Qazi. People immediately went to the Chand Qazi and complained. And similar to what happened in Kazakhstan, then the Chand Qazi came to one home, and that home was Srivast Thakur's home. In that place there's what is called Kolabhanga, the place where the mridanga was broken. And when he saw the kirtan going on, great ecstatic kirtan of the devotees in the middle of the kirtan, he broke the mridanga. In that kirtan, obviously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not there, because later on the devotees reported the incident to him. And when Chand Qazi appeared, he said no one should perform sankirtan on the streets of the city. And he was very generous, told them that he was going to excuse their offense, but if they persisted, then he was going to punish them. And interestingly, the punishment was that he was going to convert them into Muslims. Well, at least that's quite an honest statement. And this is where Srila Prabhupada makes his very famous statement, where he says that demons are trying to obstruct the sankirtan movement we are executing all over the world. And he says this proves that our sankirtan movement is still pure and genuine, following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we use Srila Prabhupada's formula here about persecution being proportionate to purity, then we can see that the devotees in Kazakhstan, they're really quite very pure and sincere and continuing the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under Govinda Maharaj's guidance. And therefore, this is the natural reaction. Anyway, when Chand Qazi said this, he went home, and the devotees were greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then heard their petition. What was Lord Chaitanya's instruction? He said, go perform sankirtan. Today I shall kill all the Muslims. And Srila Prabhupada says, in this purport, he says, it's not necessary to commit violence to stop the opposition from hindering a movement, for no one can kill their demoniac behavior. For one can kill their demoniac behavior with reason and argument. Then he says, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever there are obstacles, the Hare Krishna movement should kill the opposition with reason and argument, and thus stop the demoniac behavior. This is what we are trying to do. For us, reason and argument means we should preach to the people, we should bring the quality of civilized behavior into the limelight, and show that the type of behavior which the Kazakhstan government is allowing to go on in the Karzai district is uncivilized. It's not befitting human beings, neither is it befitting actual religious Muslims. We shouldn't become violent. Prabhupada says if we become violent, it will be difficult for us to manage our affairs. We should therefore follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who disobeyed the order of Chand Qazi but subdued him with reason and argument. So this argument, this strategy, getting the media behind us, politicians behind us, presenting our case to human rights, religious rights organizations, these are all part of our battle, logic and argument. Violence is not an option. Returning home, all the citizens began performing sankirtan, as what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but because of the order of the Qazi, they were not carefree, but full of anxiety. So we can sympathize with the devotees in Kazakhstan. They are also in anxiety at the present moment, not knowing how they'll be able to continue on. They're chanting Hare Krishna, but still they are concerned. Well, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood this anxiety in their minds, and he spoke to them as follows. In the evening I shall perform sankirtan, and in each and every town, therefore, you should all decorate the city in the evening. In the evening, burn torch lights in every home. I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Qazi comes to stop our kirtan. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just continued on preaching. And then there's a description of how the Sankirtan party took place with Haridas Thakur dancing and Advaitacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in the rear party and Lord Nityananda with him. Anyway, in this way, performing Sankirtan, they circumambulated through every nook and corner of the city and finally reached the door of the Kazi. More or less what we're also doing is by our protest, worldwide protest, we're doing kirtan. We're mentioning the name of Krishna. We're mentioning the name of the Sankirtan movement. And that way, bringing to light the injustice in Kazakhstan. And when that becomes loud enough, just like it says, murmuring anger and making a roaring sound, the people under the protection of Lord Chaitanya became mad through such indulgence. When that roaring sound becomes loud enough, then the local politicians will hear our protest. And what will be the result? The loud sound of the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra made the Kazi very much afraid, and he hid himself within his room. Hearing the people thus protesting, murmuring in great anger, the Kazi would not come out of his home. So this is what we should be doing under all conditions. We're making our protest, but what is the background of our protest? Protest is chanting Hare Krishna. So if the Lord is asked, well, what should I do? If you don't know what else to do, if you have no contacts in government, in Kazakh industry, in human rights affairs, get a pair of cartels, take your family, go out in front of the Kazakh embassy. If there's no Kazakh embassy, go out in front of the city hall with a poster that says Kazakhs are persecuting Hare Krishnas and chant Hare Krishna. You may not think that people will take your poster very seriously, but the chanting will have effect. Krishna will be pleased and he will motivate others from within their heart. Prabhupada therefore says, in the present day also, people all over the world may join together in Krishna consciousness movement and protest against the present degraded government of the world's godless societies, which are based on all kinds of sinful activities. In Srimad Bhagavatam states that in the age of Kali, thieves, rogues, and fourth-class people who have neither education nor culture capture the seats of government to exploit the citizens. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga that has already appeared. People cannot feel secure about their lives and property, yet the so-called governments continue and government ministers get fat salaries, although they are unable to do anything good for society. The only remedy for such conditions is to enhance the Sankirtan movement under the banner of the Krishna consciousness and protest against the sinful activities of the world's government. So, let's protest. Let's not sit comfortably in our homes. Let's get out on the streets, distribute our books, chant Hare Krishna, protest against the sins and ills of this age, and that can be highlighted now by protesting against what's going on in Kazakhstan. But for Krishna's sake, don't become complacent and be satisfied by sitting in your comfortably established temple or home and wait for someone else to do something out there, because the life and essence of your Krishna consciousness, which is preaching and propagating the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will just die. And one day you may look in the mirror and you may see something that resembles the president of Kazakhstan, Hare Krishna.